Good evening. Welcome to the Slayer Report. Today is Thursday, September 28, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Our theme tonight is the missing money in the Constitution. I normally don't do a money in markets on the last Thursday of the month. I'm making an exception this week because of the importance of the interview we're publishing tonight with Dr. Mark Skidmore, and there's some other things I want to touch on that are important. The missing money is now up to $21 trillion. Dr. Skidmore and his students found another trillion, so we went from 18 to 19, and then they found two more trillion. Again, this is just the Department of Defense and the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So those two agencies from 1998 to 2015 have three times as many. The combination is three times as much in undocumentable transactions as their entire budget for the period. I encourage you to listen to the discussion with Dr. Skidmore tonight. I also did a show that we recorded today with Greg Hunter from USA Watchdog. It'll publish late Saturday evening and early Sunday, and I would encourage you to listen to it. Along with the second quarter wrap-up, it's excellent material to help you understand the way forward and why this effort is essential to your personal and financial security. I cannot underscore how dangerous some of the efforts are that are underway. I'm going to record a show next week with Harry Blaser about the conference on cryptocurrencies. I learned a great deal, and I was extremely grateful that Harry was there, so it's best if we share it together, but I would encourage you to listen to it. I described some of it with an interview I did with Rachel McIntosh, Shadow Citizen, which I've linked up to at the web. One of the things I do want to share today is that I cannot underscore enough that the shift to Global 3.0 is accelerating. I know I said that in the annual wrap-up. I said it in the scenarios. It was a critical part of the scenarios. I've been saying it all year. And it was interesting because at the conference, you could see a variety of different examples of how things were accelerating. And Harry turned to me and he said, "Oh my God, Global 3.0 is really accelerating." And I said, "I told you that." And he said, "You know, it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to really feel it in your gut." So it's one of the things I very much want to get Harry's help in communicating to you. We said it when he and I discussed the Amazon, but the Whole Foods, I've always believed that that was sort of the big deal that rang the bell, although the Alibaba IPO was certainly a big, you know, it rang a big bell too. But I'm beginning to appreciate how hard it is for people to understand the significance of this and how quickly it's now going to start to unfold. We're talking about the equivalent of shifting from an agricultural society to industrial society, but arguably much faster than that happened. And imagine a world where humans do the work and then rapidly machine, software, and artificial intelligence take over 20%, then 30%, then 40%, then 50%, then 60%, then 80%, then 90% or more of the work at the same time we become a multiplanetary civilization. That's a very big, deep change. And, you know, so in a world where there's weather warfare, look back at what happened during Katrina, or look back at what happened at the Kentucky power outage. Look at what's happening with Puerto Rico or Venezuela. So whether it's accelerated change or weather warfare, I really want to make sure you're prepared to go 1 to 3 months if things really hiccup. So food, cash, coins, barter goods, mentality, everything. Just be prepared for hiccups in the environment. I know I keep saying this, but I really could see it and feel it there. The 2018 and 2020 elections are really going to be quite interesting. If you think 2016 was big, wait till you see what happens now, because the tensions and the push for change are accelerating. If you've been watching the primary in Alabama, it's a perfect example of how much the established order is in for some real change. And so the question is, what can I do to help you appreciate the speed at which this change is coming and will come? And so, again, it's one of the things I'm going to focus on when Harry and I will do the interview that week, and I'm going to get it up as a special as soon as possible. the importance of the Constitution to this process cannot be overestimated. If we go through this change and preserve and protect the Constitution, if we have a legal covenant that we share, we should be fine. If we don't, we end up in slavery, and which will be enforced with digital means, and it's an impossibly ugly picture. So it's time now to do something about it. I keep being asked, should I have my money in gold or land or stocks or bonds or bitcoins? And here's the thing. If you're controlled by an implanted chip, dependent on a universal income from a central authority and are mind controlled, you know, you're going to be in a state where all of your assets can be confiscated at any moment. In essence, you have no individual rights or private property. So stop worrying about what you're, I mean, I'm not saying don't pay attention to what your assets in, but pay even more attention to your right to own assets and to control them yourself. Okay, money and markets, U.S. dollar has now bounced up over the 92 lines, so we have not gotten a break. You know, the dip down is not what I would consider a break. So it's trading at 92.93, and if anything looks strong or stronger, let's see what tomorrow brings. Fixed income, the TLT, long treasury is now back down to 6.25%, down from over 10%. The intermediate at 2.97, the aggregate at 3.20, and junk going along swimmingly at 6.23. The S&P now up 13.5%, really 13.6% for the year. Home builders doing even better at 17.6%. Europe, the VGK ETF up 23.5%. Germany 23.25%, and the developed markets minus North America up almost 20%. The large cap China is up 26%. Small cap is up 30%. And the emerging markets, wow, down to 17%. So China is now past the emerging markets as the all-time high performer. Commodities now down 5% for the year. Gold, which had backed off a little, steady at 11.5%. Silver up 5.36%. And oil still in the doghouse, down 14.85%. The president has unveiled sort of a conceptual overview of tax reform. This is a major tax overhaul. It's way too early to judge what his chances are as passing. The budget, Senate budget group put together sort of a baseline that will help them get this done if they're willing to go with an all Republican solution. Trump's problem, and this is exactly what I said in the first quarter, and I'm going to say it again, his problem is that there's lots of political support to get through what's good for the rich, not a lot of political support to get through what's good for the middle class. So let's see what he can get done. If he can get tax reform and corporations get the break they need to bring all the money back, this is going to be quite a dramatic swing in job opportunities and real estate and stock market valuations. So it's going to have a major impact. Obviously, it's different place to place and sector to sector. So I don't want to give sweeping generalizations. But if the Republicans get this done this year, it's going to have a big, big impact on the economy. So very good short run for the North American economy. Lots of capital and juice flowing in. Merkel has won her new election in Germany. Wolfgang Schäuble is now leaving as finance minister. Boy, that's the end of an era. I wonder if there's going to be a change in EU austerity policy, and is taking over the position. He's been nominated for president of the Bundestag. So, you know, he's far from stepping off the stage, but that is an end of the era. I want you to remember the concept of projective identification. Projective identification is a very classic tactic of the different federal agencies and intelligence agencies. Attack somebody for what you're doing before they can attack you for doing it. So if I'm stealing, I immediately attack you for stealing, because then if you come along and say, well, no, it's you who's stealing, you won't have any credibility. I've already branded you as a thief. It wouldn't surprise me. SEC is under great attack over the fact that they got hacked, and it wouldn't surprise me if that attack is inspired by the people who don't want to give them the upper hand in attacking Equifax for being hacked. And everybody's sitting around and saying, what is the SEC going to do? And remarkably coinkadinky, the SEC gets hit, and apparently they've been hacked and didn't handle it well either. So, so Equifax can say, well, the pot shouldn't call the kettle black. The Wall Street Journal finally carried a story on the Pew study that I keep talking about, saying that the problem at the state and local pension funds is not so much the funding for the pension funds, which in many states is reasonably good, nowhere near as dire as some people are making it sound. Where the states have fallen down, they haven't been accruing funding for health care. That Pew study is very important. We'll probably talk about it more in the annual wrap-up when we cover pension funds. But if you're in a state pension fund and expecting health care from your pension fund, I strongly recommend that you check the status of your particular state and how much has been accrued for health care. I think you might be surprised to discover that health care may not be there, and you might need to make alternative plans. Certainly, to the extent that the Medicare system still exists, that plus a supplemental should be there for you, but I would make sure you check into it. We have a new Food for the Soul. It's great. It's on British TV miniseries, including my absolute all-time favorite, the Warwicker Trilogy. I love this column. I'm so excited that we were able to persuade Your Culture Scout to publish it. And they're doing two reviews of something related to culture. So it could be movies, could be theater, could be art. And I just love the things they do. So check out Food for the Soul by Your Culture Scout. Finally, in January, we published a little video called Will Obama Be the Fall Guy? About sort of Obama and his responsibility for his piece of 8 years of the financial coup d'etat. And our videographer loved it so much, he wanted to retool it and put it to music. And it's pretty cool. So we put it up on the website. It's kind of funny, but it gives you my sort of 411 on Obama, which has been my 411 on him from the very beginning. So it's never changed. Our hero tonight, you won't be surprised, is Dr. Mark Skidmore, full professor, chair of state and local finance, government finance at Michigan State University, who has done really, he keeps saying it's not remarkable. I think it's very remarkable, his showing up and really helping to collect and organize all the documentation and do a much more thorough job than I had done. Greg Hunter, when he reviewed the report that Dr. Mark Skidmore has written and the documentation, he said, wow, he did you a solid. I love that. He did you a solid, and that's the truth. He did me a solid. But he did all of us a solid, because I think, you know, getting to the point where the federal government is in compliance with Article 1, the appropriation clause, would be just a miraculous contribution to bringing us back to some kind of rule of law. Anyway, we talk about in the interview what inspired him to do this, him and his background, why he thinks this is important. And we're very lucky to have somebody who's expert in state and local, because the real solutions are going to have to happen at the state and local level. No matter what you change at the federal level, we're still going to have to go to work. And that's why I love the interview with Chuck Marone of Strongtown. And I think the combination of Chuck Marone on the Strongtown interview and topic, and then this interview with Dr. Mark Skidmore, shows you that there's incredible intellectual power in this country to deal with real solutions and to deal with reality. And we just need to kind of start working with each other. And one of the things I told Greg Hunter today, I said, look, you don't need everybody. You need 5 to 10%. And if you look at the talent in this country that can be unleashed, it's incredible. And Skidmore is a great example of that talent. Anyway, let's go to movies. I wanted to add Top Secret America from 9/11 to Boston Bombings. The missing money issue is, of course, all wrapped up in 9/11. 9/11 did a lot of knowledge management on missing money. And of course, it's very famous that Rumsfeld stood up the day before and said the Pentagon was missing $2.3 trillion the year before, which of course was bigger than their entire budget. The reason I wanted to point out Top Secret America, there were two reporters, Dana Priest and William Arkin, writing for the Wall Street Journal, which is not normally, I'm sorry, for the Washington Post. It's not normally a periodical I would point to or recommend, because my experience with the Washington Post is they just lie and make stuff up and bury stories, and my experience with the Washington Post is dreadful. But put that aside, William Arkin went out and built a database of all the different facilities that were being built and managed after 9/11 and sort of the explosion of the national security state. And it's a fantastic effort. And what he and Priest then did is tried to make some sense of what was happening. And what you look at is absolutely an out-of-control national security state. And as you see the scope and extent of it, you start to realize, well, maybe they're just buying everybody up by giving them a job and putting them on the payroll. Maybe this is the biggest job program in America, just designed to get everybody hired by the national security state so they won't object. And it all fits with my theory of moving the black budget on budget after 9/11. But when you read, you know, and they're sort of very gracious and graceful in the way they write it, but when you contemplate the size and extent of the expense and waste, it's absolutely astonishing. Okay, so our interview, as I've said, is with Dr. Skidmore this evening. And he's now up to $21 trillion. We were at $18 trillion, and then he found another trillion. So we went to $19 trillion, and then he found two more trillion. He just keeps finding missing money. Again, this is all at DOD and HUD. So we're now up to $21 trillion. And as I said, that's an important figure because it's more than the total outstanding debt. Everyone keeps asking me, well, what's the real cash number? There's no way to know. If an organization doesn't produce audited financial statements as required by law, and you can't trust the books, and there's clearly spending occurring that is not in, I mean, compliance with the Constitution means that you can prove in transparent accounts that you've only spent what was appropriated or approved by the Congress, right? Okay, well, if your current undocumented blood adjustments is more than three times or approximately three times your entire budget for the period 1998 to 2015, you're not functioning in accordance with the law. And if you haven't produced audited financial statements, you're not functioning in accordance to law. So let me just read it to you again. Section 9, Article 1, Clause 7, that's the appropriation clause from the U.S. Constitution. No money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law and a regular statement of account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. So to say that we're out of compliance, we are way out of compliance. And again, what I keep telling you is crime that pays is crime that stays. If people can finance whatever they want with impunity outside the law, then they're going to be free to run everything. So your policies are not going to be set by any kind of governance process. They're going to be set by the people who control the money. Okay, ask Catherine. Any comments on why Senator Corker has decided not to run in 2018? Bob Corker has only been in two terms, but he's a very senior. He went in 2006. So, yeah, so his 2018 will be his next run. He said that he was only going to do two terms, and I think the environment is just sufficiently dangerous. It takes great courage to run and stay in and try and do a good job, or the belief that you have complete protection. And I think Corker, I don't know Corker well, but I think he's smart enough to know it's not a bad time to leave. Catherine, sharing this wonderful, heartfelt article about a farmer in Australia and his connection to the natural world and the genocide of Roundup. I always say our lives is determined by what's at the end of our fork. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I posted it. Thanks for sending it. Catherine, this is my second email in as many days about you and Sacred. This is about Santa Fe, New Mexico. I'm not asking for a reply. I discovered you and Sacred after the election. As I wrote before, your work has shattered my view of the world. It was inconceivable to me how evil people could be. It was inconceivable how failure can be a desired outcome for those who govern. I'm still trying to wrap my brain about it. I spent time looking at a body of your work that seems to be in two categories. all the areas where the global elites have taken control over our daily lives, solutions of global problems at the local level with local resources, what can we do about it? This is your theory of solutions at the local level, which is important for individuals, but I think meaningless on the level of making a difference here in Santa Fe. The city is full of creative people making a big difference, but they will not change the culture and charm of corruption. It is what drew me here in 1976 because New Mexico was like Afghanistan and Santa Fe like Kabul before outsiders destroyed it. Here in New Mexico, corruption is a time-honored tribal tradition. Local media reflects and embraces this tradition. The tradition is proud of its third world status. The U.S. is near the bottom of almost every economic and social indicator among advanced countries, and New Mexico has always been or near the bottom of almost every U.S. indicator. Wealthy people love the cheap labor and its rich culture, and they will fight to keep it that way. The daily stories are persistent and endless. Just today, I glanced at the Naked Capitalism with their daily links and saw this obscure link from IBT. It reflects our tradition of pay-to-play over decades. And then there's a link to a new story about a New Mexico pension deal. The allegation is the governor broke SEC rules. As you concluded about healthcare, the bad news is that we are on our own, and the good news is we are on our own. Part of being on our own is accepting collective guilt for massive crimes against humanity and war crimes, past, present, and future. It's looking forward to the collapse of empire. It's collapsing now to avoid the rush. That's a wonderful expression. Collapse now to avoid the rush. It is trying to stay sane in a sea of insanity. Those are choices we can make or reject. As I wrote Saker, how can I express gratitude for the work you were doing and frustration at the same time without all of this gibberish? He was very kind in sorting out some of the most strongly held beliefs over a very long period of time. For that, I am grateful. I hope you read his first book because I think it will really make you laugh. Then he continues, I think both of you need to be heard on a global basis because this is a problem confronting humanity. Humanity needs a voice. It means many voices. I say amen and amen and amen. Especially to humanity needs many voices. We each need to do what we can do and feel good about that. And if we each do simply that which we can do, a mighty army arises. Anyway, so see my, if you haven't read my commentary on the website, just go to solaria.com, do a search and read my article called Turtle Forth. Given the speed of change, it is so important we not worry about what needs doing, just do what we can do, and never quit and never embrace the hopelessness that Mr. Global is marketing and training. Again, one of my favorite quotes, all-time quotes, is from John Rappaport, hopelessness is an op, and it's planet-wide. I love that. Anyway, in closing, we were gonna do news trends and stories next week, but I wanted to do a precious metals market report. The precious metals market is firming up, and I'm convinced from watching cryptocurrencies, I'm feeling that precious metals is looking much stronger than it has really since it turned down in 2011. So I wanted to sneak in a precious metals market report with Franklin Sanders. We go through precious metals, but we have a long conversation about the real deal and the real war going on in centralization versus decentralization. So it's a very long and rich discussion of sort of the integration of everything. So I recommend that to you. And then I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Farrell this weekend, and we'll be publishing on the 12th and the 17th our news trends and stories, part one and part two with him. I'm really looking forward to that. And then the third, we'll follow that up with the equity overview and Rambus Chartology. And then the theme for the third quarter wrap-up will be on November 2nd, Control 101. It's a doozy. Every time I try to propose real solutions at the local level and how the local guys get our power back, I would run into the obstacle that there wasn't a clear, coherent picture that we all shared on control. So I got to step back and do control. Then I'll go back to local. Anyway, so I'm recording Joseph this weekend in person, and we have a lot to chew through. Okay, that's it for tonight. Please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, please start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.